Church, it's good to be here this morning with you. We are in a series on generosity. One of the things at Pine Lake in our culture is we want to develop not just an idea of generosity, but our goal over the next 5 years is to cultivate a culture of generosity. And so we are going to talk a lot about what does that look like, not just giving you practical applications, but what does it look like to develop something that's not only our identity, our values, but it's practices that we put into place. And if you're new here to Pine Lake, we have a rhythm that we talk about every week. It's the rhythm of discipleship that we apprentice our lives after Jesus in three ways that we aim to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And then as we talk about this morning, a life of generosity, we're talking about the subject of that there's no return necessary. I almost did an accounting term, like no ROI, but I feel like there'd only be like three people that would like laugh at that. And so I pulled it back and I was like, that's a pastor joke that's going to fall. But as I was thinking about this, like what is this idea of generosity in return. Does anybody remember the thing Pay It Forward? It was not only a movie, but it was like, nobody? Pay It Forward? Okay, thank you. I see a lot of like the young Gen Zs are like, what? Like the date themselves. But Pay It Forward was this concept of that you were going to do a good deed for somebody else. And then by doing this, you would knock a domino down and then everybody would start jumping on board. At the height of this I was working at Starbucks, and so there was a game that we played every morning that somebody started the Pay It Forward train. And you would think this is not a big deal, but for us like young 20s to get excited about something, this is what we're excited about. Instead of like deciding how satisfied our customers could be, we decided how many people could we get to pay for other people. Like, you know, and then somebody comes in and gets a black coffee, and then somebody gets it like $25 worth of stuff. And then like the person's like, do you want to pay for that? And they're like, yes, as they hand over their card. But the funny thing was, is that we started counting. And the highest I remember we ever got was we got 100 cars to do this. This is 100 people that were paying for the person behind them. And then I remember, that means like what, to give you a little perspective, that we could in the drive-thru put 50 people through an hour. So that means 2 hours. You saw people paying and paying and paying. And then I remember that all of a sudden we would hear, you would know that the train ended by somebody be like, ugh. When somebody was like, do you want to pay for the person behind you? And they were like, no. And we didn't know what to do. We were so sad. And I could see, like, as you peered to the person behind, as we were all lamenting and crying and like, oh my gosh, this is ending. It's over. What are we doing to do for the rest of the day? Like, the person is shamed. Shamed. And they could do nothing more than say, can I rewind 10 seconds and just say yes? Because I like realize that I wonder if we'll ever see this person again. Like that's the question. Like there's so much shame. Like you wonder if you'll ever see this customer again. And one of the things that I kept thinking about is like that's not generosity. Generosity is not just paying for someone behind you because you can or because they can. It is the gospel of generosity has no expectation of return. Like this is what Jesus, even in his time when we're reading the text, is that they had this idea of paying for people behind you, paying for people that deserved it or could afford it. But Jesus introduced this idea of generosity that has no expectation of return. And so let's turn to Luke chapter 14 and we'll read more about that text where Jesus introduces a different way, a gospel way of generosity. And so this is Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 12. If you have your Bible, whether it's digital or physical, I always encourage you to have it and to open it and to read along with us. It says this, when Jesus said to the host, the person that he's having dinner with, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, or your sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Father, the way of Jesus is sometimes so foreign that we wonder if we're getting it right ever. And I feel that this morning as a father. Some of us wonder whether we're biological fathers, we adopted fathers, or we're spiritual fathers. Sometimes I wonder, Lord, if we ever feel like we get it right. And that can weigh. But God, you sent your son, and he said in his first words that he didn't come to put people in captivity, but he made the captive free. So Lord, free us today. Free us from the shame and the expectation that we put on ourselves, that we put on one another. God, would you give us eyes to see you, eyes to hear you, and a heart to fall more in love with the God who gives. We ask this in your name, we pray. Amen. We talked about that. Out of the 100 cars, there was one person. One person that said no. And one of the things that I think about this was not only the shame of the experience, but this, out of 100 people, one person experienced generosity. Think about that for a second. Now, am I like, you're like, one person? One person experienced true generosity. To be paid for, to receive free, and to be feel the gratitude of somebody doing something that was not expected of them, that they didn't have to do, and nobody else, none of the 99 experienced gratitude. I think this is one of the things that we need to understand, the difference between generosity in the truest form that it is, and this idea that you get to be paid back. Like Jesus here is talking to the host and to the guest, and he's saying, you have invited friends and your brothers, and this is normal in your culture. You do something for me, and I will do something for you. In the biblical culture, this was something that exists today, that we still experience. But generosity is counter. It doesn't expect anything in return. And this is why the population and the people that are invited, that Jesus brings two different types of people. People that you would normally invite to your parties, to your Father's Day event, are people that love you, that care for you. And then Jesus turns it on his head. Hey, when you're doing this, people that follow the way of Jesus, this new way, they invite a whole different set of people. The guest list is different. They are people that are crippled. They are people that are lame. They are people that don't have anything. They are people who might not even be your friends. They might be strangers. They might be outcasts. They might be people that you dislike, that you don't associate with. But Jesus in here is saying the gospel is uniquely different than the culture of even then and the culture of today. That it's not wrong for you to invite the first guest on the first set of guests on your list. It's not wrong. But if that is the only way that you experience or try to practice generosity, it is not generosity. It's quid pro quo. And so it makes you think, have I really experienced generosity, or have I just experienced a relationship that is built upon, if you can do for me, then I will do for you. It expects nothing in return. So invite people. Be generous to those who cannot pay you anything. Be generous to those who don't owe you. Be generous so that you might give a gift that they cannot return. This is the generosity that Jesus invites us to reorient ourselves back to. And as you do so, and as you reorient yourself back to this new idea that it's not about what people can give to you. That's not generosity. It's what you offer and how you offer it and who you offer it to. The why behind all that you do. That generosity is not for the people that you invite. It's for the audience of one. Jesus, in using this example, not only here, but also in Matthew chapter 6, he talks about that you will receive and be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. That this, the righteous one, and they would know this, is that when the Messiah returns, that as Jesus has foretold, that this will be made right. All things will be made right. I remember this, though, that in that text, right, where he says that you will be repaid. Did anybody grow up in the church where you heard someone say that as you participate in generosity, that you will get jewels in your crown? Anybody else hear that? Like, grew up and you're like, oh man, the jewels in the crown. And so what it became is this, like, man, if I'm doing things and I'm being generous and people can't pay me back, well, there's got to be some system of return and repayment. And so we built a system where the Lord will put jewels in our crowns, and if so, for us who have been really good, really obedient, really generous, our heads are going to be really heavy because we're going to have these crowns that are bedazzled with jewels. And then I'm going to walk up to you that only has three or four crowns, and I'm like, I'm sorry. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Right? Like, you're going to be, there's going to be, and I thought about this, like, in the day of righteousness, the day of right living, where have we put in this place where competition has come into play? If we can't get repaid on this life, we, and Jesus owes us in the next life. There's this place deep within our souls where sin causes us to morph and to change and to desire things that are not of Jesus, that are not of the way of Jesus. Matthew chapter 6 says this. You want to go back to that text, Claire? Matthew chapter 6. It says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward in heaven. And then you think about that, you say, like, if there's no jewels, if there's, but the text right there, Jesus says you will be repaid. Like, what is the payment that we will receive now? If it's not by people who we invite, and if it's not by Jesus himself with jewels in our crown, then what is it? What is it that we don't have an eternal reward system that is at play? What is it? I remember putting a cashier at the Starbucks. He was new. And let's say he didn't believe in pay it forward. I don't know why. And it made such friction and tension on our team in the morning that people wanted to, like, not work with him. They were actually wanting to sabotage and say, how can we get this kid fired? And I remember sitting down with him and saying, hey, as the manager, like, what is going on? We need to build relationships and trust within with our teammates. And he goes, why won't you allow the pay for system that everybody likes and what customers like to do? And he goes, because I see people. I want to honor them. I want to see in their heart the generosity that they want to do, and I don't want to take advantage of them when they leave and are out of sight. I want them to experience the fullness that comes with someone's generosity as they leave. I want it to impact the rest of the day. I want it to change them so that when they go out into other places, they participate in generosity and not quid pro quo. And as a supervisor, I couldn't say anything that was wrong with this. Especially as not only a boss, but as a follower of Jesus. This person who didn't know Jesus had a better understanding theologically of generosity than many of the people that were there, that were in seminary, that were working side by side with him. This is what we do. This is who we are. That the Father in heaven is your reward. That Jesus stands there and he says, the generosity that I give to you, I want you to fully experience the joy that I give to you by being generous with every breath that you breathe, every step that you take, every journey that you walk on. I want you to understand the generosity that flows from the Father. And I think about this, that we experience this in our own lives as fathers, that dads, the kids come up and run to the kids and say, Dad, did you just see what I did? They come home and they bring paintings in drawings, in cards that aren't Picasso. But yet we love it. We experience things where they triumph and they show you and they love you and they give things to you even though you don't need them. I remember my son was like, "Dad, you're gonna go on a trip. You wanna take my stuffy?" I'm a grown man. Yes, I'll take your stuffy. I didn't need the stuffy. But he wanted to give something that he cherished and he trusted and he wanted to say, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, did you see what I just did for you?" Why? Because I want to be like you. This is what the Father does for us. That as we come as children of the Most High God, as sons and daughters of the King, we look to the Father and say, "Dad, did you just see what I just did? I did it for you." And he looks and says, "Son and daughter, I see you. I am so welled up of pride at who you are becoming. I marvel at the way that you choose to live like me, even when it's easy not to. Son, daughter, you make me so proud." And we continue to do that over and over again because the love of the Father that doesn't just trickle upon us, that lavishes on us. Lavishes on us. That we give because the Father gave. And I think about this in the text not only here, but also through all Scripture, is that we have a Father that continually gives generously, even though and before we dare earn it or deserve it. Guiding His people by a cloud by day so that the heat isn't oppressive on them. A cloud of fire by night so that they'll be warm in the cold wilderness. That even though that He should be the King of their heart and they want kings, that He gives them good kings to show them the way that the people are supposed to live. He gives them prophets to lead them back into the promised land that is flowing with milk and honey. The Father gives and gives time after time, even though His children both earn it and don't deserve it. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So simple. Something that as Christians we learn from an early age, early in our spiritual walk, about the goodness of the gospel, the goodness of the Father. And yes, we end with the eternal life that is a gift to you and I, but we forget the beginning that God so loved all of creation, all of humanity, everything still, and how it has unfolded in ways that He never intended, but yet He so loved that He gave. He so loved that He gave His only Son so that the Son may walk upon us, so that joy that we see in the Father will now be made sight. But that when Jesus looked at His people and the joy that was brought before Him was seen visibly to the disciples, to the Israelites, to the Gentiles, to the Romans, that joy would be their reward. That I want to give you joy. I want you to experience joy. I want you to see joy. I want you to feel joy. I want you to know joy that comes from the Father who gives lavishly, even His Son. That the Father gives knowing, that there will be people that do not honor the sacrifice of the Son, and yet He still gave His life. So that there be an opportunity for you to feel the fullness of generosity that comes from the Father that you don't deserve. That when you come to the end of yourself and saying, "I can't do enough." There's a Father that gives and gives and gives and gives. All of us have reached a point in our lives where we are challenged. Whether with siblings, parents, kids, family members, where they have reached the ends of their ability to give one more time. I think this is what happened in the garden. As Jesus had lived around the Israelites, around the Jewish people, around the Gentiles, those that accepted him, those who were following him, those that persecuted him, those that were searching for him. And Jesus was like, is there another way? Is there another way? Because these people don't deserve it. Is there another way where I don't have to pour my life out for all people, but can I pour my life out for some? And this is where the end of our humanity comes, that we all sit in the same place of saying, I can't give anymore. I can't give anymore. And Jesus, in his fullness of humanity, in this fullness of divinity, doesn't lean on his own power, but leans on the power of the Father. And he says, if this is your will, when I don't want to give anymore, I will follow you. I will model my life after the way that you did. When I can't give, I'll remember the Father who continued to give. One step further. So that you might know. That you might deny him 100, 200, 1,000, 1,000,000 times. But the one time that you finally say yes is the reason he gave his son. For you. So that you might know the generous, unbounded love of the Father. And this is where we move from. This is how a culture of generosity not only invades your life and my life, but begins to permeate through our church, is that we look and we come to the end of ourselves, we get down on our knees and we say, Lord, I do not want to be kind and gentle and generous to any more people. And the Father says, I felt the same way about you, but I gave you one more shot. I poured my love out one more time so that you might know, so that you might live in the fullness of the joy that the Father says that he died, that Jesus died the death that we deserve, that he was crucified, that he was buried, that he was risen to life so that we might have life. And life abundantly. That the Lord doesn't pour out life in sparse places, but he lavishes it continually, continually upon you. The rain comes both on the unfaithful and the faithful. This is a generous God. A generous God who, when it comes to the end of ourselves, he says, fall into my arms and I will give you the power. I will give you the joy to give in the same way that I did. This is what it looks like for us to give with no expectation in return. Not because we can, but because he can. And he did. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, we ask. We desire that you are continually speaking, but often we have ears that are clogged that don't hear you. What word do you have for us this morning? Father, what word is for us, not for our families, not for our jobs, not for the prospects, but what is an intimate word from the Father speaking to his sons and daughters? Jesus, thank you that you saw a fickle bunch of disciples, an ornery and disobedient people. But your love was so vast that you sacrificed your very breath and life so that we might find joy. Joy because you gave. Holy Spirit, you are our God and we are your people. Amen.